Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss Campbell Fighting, Dodo Burns, and Leaky Black. Matt Norlander is here with me. You're watching live on YouTube. You know what to do. Smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent, and as you certainly know by now, I hope you know by now. In previous years, leading into the NBA draft, we've dedicated short episodes of the Island College Basketball Podcast to some of the top-tier prospects available. This year, doing the same thing, leading up to the 2022 NBA draft, which is scheduled for June 23rd. We've already done Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, Jabari Smith, Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, and Shaedon Sharpe. Now, we turn our attention to Kansas's Ochai Agbaji. I've got him going. I'm higher than most on this. Seventh overall to the Portland Trail Blazers in my latest mock draft. CBS Sports. Dead leg, is that too high, too low, or just about right?
All right. That's how we're starting every one of these damn things.
Yes, it's just easy.
Come on.
It's just easy.
Sit up for me.
How about you answer it?
Is it too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's just right.
You're higher than anyone on this guy, I think. I think you're the highest. Right?
I am. I have not seen anybody else have him this high. I'm a believer. I'm asking you, are you a believer?
I'm a believer. It's too high. He's not going to go seventh. But not to say he shouldn't go seventh. I'm saying he won't go seventh. He's got a great case to go seventh because, well, the evidence is there. Don't be an ageist. Don't wait to draft this guy because he played for 4 years. He's 22 years old. Whatever. Best player in the Big 12 last season. Although, erroneously, the Final Four most outstanding player. That should not have happened.
That trophy should belong to David McCormack.
Yeah, that's correct. So when Ochai Agbaji gets drafted wherever he does, at 7, at 10, at 16, wherever he goes, he's going to be slotted into a certain rookie salary scale. He needs to carve off a solid 250 minimum and send it, Venmo it to his buddy David McCormack. He did not deserve the Final Four Most Outstanding Player. Not a chance, but really, really good pro prospect. And he'll be the only senior drafted in the first round of the NBA draft, barring some sort of stunner. Really, I just did a profile on EJ Liddell, Ochai Agbaji, and Jalen Williams of Santa Clara, J-A-L-E-N, not J-A-Y-L-I-N. That's Arkansas. Jalen Williams of Santa Clara. Those are really the only three upperclassmen, junior seniors, anticipated to go in the first round of this year's NBA draft. Agbaji probably will get taken before any of them, deservingly so. I know my man Parrish has the stats lined up, so I'll save that for him to tell you what he did there. But I trust Ochai Agbaji to have a long, fruitful, successful NBA career, even if that means he's a rotation player. I don't know if he ever gets to the point of being a viable long-term starter. I could certainly see it. He's got the defensive aptitude. He's got the athleticism. He's got the length. He's got certainly the intelligence for it. Ochai Agbaji is as impressive of an interview from a college player that I've encountered in the past 4 or 5 years. He will pass that every single team that has met with him and will meet with Ochai Agbaji. He will pass the interview with flying colors. It will unquestionably increase his stock all the more. Seven is ambitious, but I like where you're going here because, you know, I like to mix it up a little bit. Tell us a bit more, GP, as to why in your mock you're going as high as number seven for Mr. Agbaji.
So let me run you through some bullet points real quick. 6'5 wing, 6'10 wingspan, average 18.8 points, 5.1 rebounds in 35.1 minutes per game this past season. Big 12 player of the year, consensus first team All-American, and yes, the most outstanding player of the 2022 Final Four. Got an interesting background/recruiting story. Born in Milwaukee, but raised in Kansas City, and was like 5'7" as a high school freshman, but then grew 9 inches to, like, you know, 6'4" in that range by his junior year of high school. Regardless, in the summer before his senior year of high school, which is, you know, a big time, you know, recruiting evaluation period for all players, he was basically only being recruited by Mountain West schools, only had an offer from one Power Five program in the summer before senior year of high school. Trivia time. Do you know what it was?
No. Give me a hint.
Beaver Fever.
Oregon State.
Yes. And what's interesting.
Tinkle was on it.
Wayne Tinkle was on it.
He was on it.
I'm pulling all of this from a terrific story from CJ Moore of The Athletic that he actually filed after the Champions Classic last season, which was a terrific on deadline.
That worked out well. Ochai Agbaji was amazing at the Champions Classic last season.
Yes, and CJ had clearly done all the reporting on it, and then he just put it in that, but it was a really nice game piece. So according to CJ, who had done all the reporting on it, he had one Power Five offer the summer before his senior year, and that was from Oregon State. But it was somewhat tied to like a relationship because Wayne Tinkle's older brother had played football and basketball with Ochai Agbaji's grandfather. And so they had, yes. And so there was a connection there, and that's how he had the, that's among the reasons he had the Oregon State offer. I don't think you offer scholarships to just anybody who played football with your older brother. But
that's actually the code. Yeah.
What if you did? What if you had to offer a scholarship to everybody your older brother ever played football with? Wouldn't that be a twist in recruiting? So Oregon State had an offer, but that was it at the Power Five level. Ochai had played for MOCAN on the EYBL circuit, which is a significant grassroots team. Like they won Peach Jam a few years ago.
With
my little homie from Memphis, Kennedy Chandler.
Also, before that, Trey Young and Michael Porter Jr., but yeah.
Yeah, but my little homie from Memphis, Kennedy Chandler.
There we go.
First Memphian to ever win.
On MOCAN? Missouri, Kansas? Memphian is involved in that? What's going on?
Yep, well, because Tennessee shares a border with, I believe, Missouri. God, I hope that's right.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Somebody look. Because I think the EYBL rules are if you got to play in your state or a bordering state.
Yeah.
Somebody look that up for me. Does Tennessee have a border with Missouri? God, I hope so.
I'm trying to picture it in my mind. Let me look this up. I got to look this up right now. I feel like it's right there. It does. Oh my gosh. It barely does. It does. This has got to be. It's the northwest corner of Tennessee does border the. What do you want to call that part of Missouri that just kind of dips down? I don't know what we would call that, but
I think we call that a boot heel.
I don't know. That's
is there a such thing as a Missouri boot heel?
It kind of looks like a boot. No, it looks like the spur. If Missouri's kind of in the shape of a weird boot, that's like the spur at the front of the boot.
I think a Missouri boot heel is a real thing. In fact, it is. The Missouri boot heel is the southeasternmost part of the U.S. state of Missouri.
Boom.
God. I should host a geography podcast, it sounds like.
Trivia time.
Okay.
It's capital of Missouri.
Oh.
This is a different one. I'm almost positive on this. I'm going to make sure.
Is it Springfield?
No. I think it's Jefferson City.
Yeah, it might be Jefferson
City. It is. Boom. Jefferson City. Yep. One of those. Yep. Jefferson City. Again, we are the podcast for your world and United States capitals, and where Kennedy Chandler played AU ball. And, oh, by the way, Ochai Agbaji should go top 10 in the draft.
I saw somebody in the comments somewhere or on Twitter or something greatly offended that I thought the capital of New Jersey was Caracas.
Yes. you thought it was Secaucus.
Yeah, they said it. He didn't even say Secaucus, right? He said Caracas. You nerds out there getting mad.
That
about
is a sneaky, by the way, that is Missouri to Tennessee. Sneaky border. Sneaky border right there.
A sneaky border. But it resulted in an AAU championship. So Ochai is coming off the bench for MOCAN. His father, trivia time. I'm just kidding. Okay. His father, Alufu, wrote letters. This is all from a story from CJ Moore. I don't want to act like I know all this stuff.
I need to leave. Do you want to just call CJ? Do I need to leave?
Can we get Nada? Can you get CJ in here real quick? So his father wrote letters to Texas, Wichita State, Missouri, saying, "Hey, please take a look at my son. He's a basketball player. Nothing. Got nothing." But Norm Roberts went to see him a few times during his senior year of high school and was intrigued, and then convinced Bill Self to go see him, to go see this prospect who at the time is ranked in the 300s of his high school class and came off the bench for his grassroots team. Now Bill Self is going to watch this guy. This is not the way recruiting usually works. Bill saw him and was intrigued. They offered, he signed, and then the plan was to redshirt him as a freshman. But then in practice, Ochai like showed signs like, hey, he might be able to help us. And then they had some injury stuff. So they pulled the redshirt in January. And of the players who finished that season with Kansas, because they had, again, some injury stuff, Ochai Agbaji, as a freshman who was planning to redshirt, he ended up being the third leading scorer, averaging 8.5 points per game. Averaged 10 points per game as a sophomore, 14.1 as a junior, and then had a real breakthrough season as a senior, which is why he's now projected as a top 20 pick. Put me in charge, and he's a top 10 pick. And I'm with you. I don't know that he'll be a top 10 pick. In fact, I'm skeptical of it based on what other mock drafts are showing people. But how about this? Here's my prediction. There will not be 10 better players from this draft than Ochai Agbaji.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
There's a case that you wind up being correct on this. He shot 41% from 3 last season, and one of the biggest reasons why I think the winning matters a lot. You know, if Kansas had lost in the Elite Eight, not won a national title, I'm not sure that's going to drastically impact Ochai Agbaji's stock. But I think the fact that he helped guide Kansas to a national championship in the manner in which he did, obviously a huge boost in this direction, as it should be. We should value winning. He is the representative of a national championship winning team. He's got the talent. He's got the shooting ability. He's got the defensive aptitude, as I said before. These things should all contribute to him becoming a lottery pick there. But his growth and evolution in this past season have been magnificent. I remember talking to Self after the Champions Classic and Agbaji, who played well in that game. Let me bring up the stat line just real quick here, because we were there. They beat Michigan State 87-74. In that game, Agbaji had 29 points overall, played really, really well in 36 minutes. And the thing that Self mentioned then, as he said, I wanted to see Agbaji become more assertive, more confident, more vocal on the floor. He had been getting there over the course of the past few years, but he was not there. And even that night, he said, I still got to see what he's going to look like, you know, come see me middle of December, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I see Kansas again at the start of December when they play a random game against St. John's on a Friday night at the UBS Center, where the Islanders play hockey. Kansas wins that going away. Christian Brown winds up having the best night that night, but Agbaji still goes for 23, had 7 boards. I talked to myself again. He said, no, this guy, he's where I want him to be. Him actually playing both the role we are asking him to play and actually showing that he has the assertiveness, that there's not an inhibitive factor to his game, that is wearing away. And because of this, he's going to get drafted. At that point, Agbaji is still considered, late first, second round kind of pick. And then as we moved on into February and March, it became more clear that he would be a first round pick. And even still, I remember us talking on a pod because someone had mentioned to me about Agbaji and him being like, you know, potential like late first round sleeper kind of pick. And I was of the understanding that maybe his stock really hadn't reached a lottery level, but it's basically there now. Ceiling, I'll put ceiling at 7. Cheapy's got him at 7. Floor, he's a senior, so I really hope that's not held against him. It shouldn't. It certainly should not. I guess I'd put his floor at like 20, probably. He could fall out of the lottery. He has no business falling out of the lottery, but I'm trying to give our listeners kind of a real gauge. So it's a bit of a wide gap overall. Normally, if we're talking on these podcast profile, you know, prospect episodes, if we're into the seventh person, the floor is not going to be usually out of the lottery. Abaji realistically is. I don't think he will or should, but we always have to allow for the potential that some guys will continue to have their stock rise in the next 2.5 weeks, and Abaji will still be seen as he will be a safe pick. And you're saying there won't be 10 players better than him when we look up X number of years down the road. I think there's a real chance for that because the shot is, it's pure, it's smooth, it's reliable, it's good off the catch. Playmaking is just okay. Like, I think he will have a ceiling to him, and that's why I think he won't go in the top 10. I think that evaluators will look at him, GP, and say, is this the kind of guy where if we're going to spend a top 10 pick on him, we are going to see him as a true playmaker, create off the dribble, get his own shot off the dribble, and be more than someone who is 3 and D, I guess. Some might not think that. And so that might be what prevents him from going high, but I just think his floor is just amazingly good and he should stick for a long, long time in the league. Total get it guy. And if I was a fan of a team on draft night and my franchise drafted Ochai Agbaji, I would be quite happy because I know that I'm getting a player that's going to be great in the locker room. And I would believe that he is going to get minutes. Production depends on the team and situation. He's going to get real minutes right away next season. He will be a contributing factor no matter where he goes to.
There won't be 10 players from this draft better than him next season. And then when we revisit it 5 seasons from now, I don't think there'll be 10 players better than him from this draft then. You mentioned the assertiveness. He went through the draft process after his junior year and actually listened to the feedback and did basically everything they asked him to do. Be more assertive, improve your three-point shot. And the assertiveness stuff was evident right from the jump, like you pointed out. You mentioned he scored 29 against Michigan State. To me, the more important stat, he took 17 shots. He was going and getting it. Second game of the season, he took 16. Third game of the season, he took 19. And in that stretch, he was also 10 of 24 from three-point range. So in the first three games of the season, he was, you know, he took 17, 16, 19 shots. And he was consistently making, shots from the perimeter, doing everything NBA evaluators wanted to see. And, you know, Bill has described him off the court as pretty much perfect. So there's no known red flags whatsoever. You're getting a high quality person based on everything I've ever heard. And a guy who I think just, you know, does he have this a ceiling as high as Jabari Smith? No, of course not. But you need guys like this in the NBA. Good teams have guys like this in the NBA. 6'5 athlete, guard multiple positions well, and reliably make three-pointers. Like shot 41% from three on 6.5 attempts per game this past season. That's high volume. Great percentage, high volume. Do I wish he was 3 inches taller? Yeah, I wish I was 3 inches taller or 6 inches taller. But at worst, I think he's a switchable wing who can be a great catch-and-shoot perimeter guy. And like I said, those dudes are super valuable in today's NBA. Great in the corners, quick release. And he made NBA threes while he was at Kansas. So the further back line, I don't think is going to be a real problem for him. And you mentioned this earlier. He is 22 years old. But that, to me, just means he's ready to play, ready to help, and more of a sure thing. And if you're Portland, you know, which is picking seventh, and you're trying to get help for Damian Lillard, how many guys are more helpful immediately than Agbaji at that point in the draft? Also, to swing it back to my hometown, Desmond Bane was 22 when the Grizzlies took him in the NBA draft. At 23, he looks like a possible future all-star, maybe max player. Now, I'm not saying that, and that's why you take 22-year-olds. I'm just saying Desmond Bane came from the same league. He had an undeniable skill that was going to translate shooting, but he still went at the bottom of the first round because he was not a great athlete, short arms, 22 instead of 19. And the Grizzlies still decided this is a guy who will work perfectly for what we're trying to build. And he has worked perfectly for what they're trying to build. Again, that's not to say if you pass on Ochai Agbaji, you're going to feel just like the franchises that passed on Desmond Bain. I'm just saying there's nothing obviously wrong with taking a 22-year-old.
I'm not going to include last year's draft because we just came off of one season. So we'll give guys at least two seasons. But I'm going to go back to as far back as the 2016 draft. Here are the seniors. Agbaji is a senior. Here are the seniors in college who have been drafted in just the first round. I'm just going first round since 2016. In 2016, the first senior taken was 6th overall, Buddy Hield. He's had a pretty solid pro career. You really dig into those numbers. He's been a good pro.
He's been good.
Yeah, he's been quality. Torian Prince Baylor goes 12. Denzel Valentine was 14. Karis LeVert was 20 that year. And then Bryce Johnson. Overall, seniors, that's a pretty good class. If you really dig into what those guys have done as pros, on the whole, they were worth being taken in the first round, particularly, again, relative to the guys that were taken around them before, near, or just after. 2017, the seniors that were taken that year, we're going back 5 years now. How about this? There was two taken in the first round. They went 29 and 30. Derek White was 29th overall. That's working out just fine for you. And then Josh Hart, who has been an impact player, particularly early in his career with the Lakers, he was clearly worth going in the first round and shouldn't have waited until 30. That was 2017. We get to 2018. The numbers obviously aren't big because, again, if you're a senior in college, you're tending not to last quite as there's not going to be as many taken overall. Grayson Allen was taken 21, up and down, whatever. But
at 21, getting a rotation player for a contender is a good pick.
Yes. And then Chandler Hutchinson out of Boise State was taken at 22nd. Hasn't quite been the same, but Grayson Allen actually has workout. And then Javon Carter went technically second round, but I wanted to at least mention him because he was obviously an impact player there when he got drafted to the Grizzlies.
Yeah, the Grizzlies took him. And guess who was on the board? Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson was on. And how about that? That same draft, Jalen Brunson even goes even later. Jalen Brunson, now that you mention him, Agbaji's not Brunson for me. Like when Brunson was that year, I was banging the table saying this guy has zero business falling outside of like the top 25. He has proven Agbaji has a lot of those traits. Like Agbaji has zero business and he probably won't, but he has zero business falling out of the top 20 this year. Let's go back to 2019. That's the Zion draft. The earliest senior that was taken was Cam Johnson out of North Carolina. That was 11. That's clearly worked out. Matisse Thybulle went to 20. Has played up to his reputation, if not exceeded it. And then Dylan Windler, shouts to a Belmont fella. He went 26. You know, not all of them are gonna hit. And then 2 years ago, the seniors, they've become, it's not a dying breed by any means, but this was kind of representative of what we'll get this year. No senior taken until Peyton Pritchard. It's working out all right. 26 to the Celtics. Udoka Azubuike, Kansas fella, went 27 in that year's draft. And then Desmond Bane was the final pick, as you mentioned before, in the first round. So you hear all the names I just mentioned. Feel free to rewind and go back and listen to that again. Plenty of those guys were not just validated in getting taken. They should have gone 5, 10, sometimes 15 spots. Desmond Bane's case, 20 spots earlier than they actually went there. If you're a franchise looking to get someone that's reliable, don't let Agbaji slip through your hands again. He's got zero business falling out of the lottery considering all that he's proven. And again, I think with his interviews, his shooting ability, his defensive capability, he's got really good length, good body. He should get drafted relatively high. But if we look up on draft night on the 23rd and see a player here that's still lingering at 17 or 18, I'm going to be a bit baffled because he's got no business waiting around that long.
Right. We can bottom line it with this. I've talked about this on other draft profiles. Sometimes I think the mistake, certainly I've made in the past and others make often, is that you focus so much on potential problem areas instead of just zeroing in on what you know this person can do. And with Agbaji, a 6'5 wing who can guard multiple positions and reliably make catch and shoot threes and impact winning, which is something he did every year, all four seasons at Kansas. Like, those guys are worth something. And I know sometimes people will say, Yeah, but do you really want to spend a top 10 pick on a guy who, you know, might never be the best player or even the second best player on a contender? Well, basically every contender is going to have a third best player, you know, who is really good. And you'll never regret spending a top 10 pick on a guy who is actually going to be a top three player, even if it's the third best player on a championship contender. Could Agbaji be that in theory? I could envision it. And either way, switchable wings who can reliably make threes, I think you could argue have never been more valuable than they are right now. You can't have enough of them. And he goes into this draft with very few questions and a lot of obvious things that I think are going to translate to the NBA very quickly. I'm a fan. I'm a believer. If I had a top 10 pick, if I had the seventh pick and those first six players come off the board in the order that I projected, I'd spend the seventh pick if I'm Portland on Agbaji. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck. Shouts to Larnell. And thank you guys for once again listening to the Island College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. 5 stars. Leave a nice review at Apple. There's more of us than there are of them. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, please knock that out before you get out of here if you're watching on YouTube. And we will talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.